Say, I got this message together before I got sick, and I mean, I didn't realize it was as long as it was, so y'all have to hold on. I'll try to preach fast, but the Bible says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on, that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that an evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word again. Now, as said earlier, Holy Spirit, we pray for your presence, your power, Lord, your conviction. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to examine our life. And I pray for that one that may be here lost, not sure about their salvation. Somebody may be watching on Facebook that's lost. We pray for their salvation this morning. We'll commit the whole service into your care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message today is Triumph and Tragedy. Triumph and Tragedy. All I've read there in verse chapter 18, of course, all this section of the Bible, it's a lot longer story. The chapters, it's chapters and chapters of a story. But just a brief excerpt from the Word of God concerning two men, the men being Saul and David. Both were chosen for leadership, both anointed by the Spirit. But that's where the comparison ends. From that time forward, there's a contrast that begins to show up between those two men and their lives. One life is we see a steady growth, in the grace and knowledge of God. And then the other life, we see a steady decline and a life of disobedience, sin, frustration, and fear. Saul could have been everything that David was. He could have been everything that David was. All the resources of God were at his disposal as they were for David. And all those same resources are at our disposal as well, the life that we live today. So why did one life end in tragedy and one life end in triumph? That's the question. That's what I really want to speak to you about this morning as we kind of go along. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention, appreciate Bobby filling in for me the last 2 weeks. We watched on Facebook, good message from Bobby both times, and appreciate that. Good to have somebody that we can call on to fill in for us when we need that, and even know when you're going to get sick. You know, every life is going in one of the two directions that we just read about right here. Every life, every person's life, really, well, every person's life. You're either growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're in a decline. Are you going away from God? Now, that would even apply for a lost person that doesn't know anything about God. They're still on that path right there. They're in that group. So every life here, we're going one of two directions. This is the way it is. You've got to be honest with yourself, evaluate yourself. You're either in a life of growth and an incline, or you're in a life of decline and the opposite of growth, heading towards failure, heading towards tragedy. Neither life started out in the direction that they were on by a snap decision. You don't start out on a life just all of a sudden, boom, man, I'm on a life of growth and something happened right away and I'm on this life of growth and instantly. And then even a life of decline. It doesn't happen in just a moment's time, a snap decision. It's a process. It was an action that became a habit, that became lifestyles, what happens to us a lot of times. You know, a lot of people, I've said this over and over, have said things. You ask them, they'll say that they're saved. They were baptized. They have come forward at a church service, perhaps. They even joined a church. Or they'll say, I believe, in relation to about Jesus, about who he is, about God. But unless those statements are followed by a spiritual or a spirit-directed life, a life of obedience, they don't mean anything. It's not what you say. You know, there's the evidence is the direction that your life is going in, the tendencies, the walk, the practice of a man's life. That's the evidence of his destiny. And I preached last summer at that meeting that they're having at the Bluegrass Barn, a funeral for a lost man, because every funeral, no matter how the person lived, everybody said he's going to a better place. That's not reality. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Word of God says. There's two destinies. There can be two destinies. The very first point we'll look at this morning is a life in decline. A life in decline. You know, spiritual decline is always obvious to everyone except the person involved. Yeah, the Bible says that old heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, no man can know it. That old heart will lie to you and tell you everything's all right. That's why it's so hard to evaluate yourself a lot of time. It's hard to, because you'll lie to yourself. Your heart lies to you about it. And it can be, a life in decline can be hidden for a while. A person can lie to themselves for a long while. But what happens is backsliding when that begins, there'll be a withdrawal from fellowship with God's people, a refusal to accept the principles of Christian living, a rejection of God's standards, a refusal to live a separated life. Those things are what comes along the way. If we went back far enough and we don't have time, if you go back and go over Saul's life from when things started getting off track all the way up into this point right now, you'll see everything that I just spoke about happened in his life, and it got him to the point that he's at right now. But those things, and so what happens? All these things will soon be evident in a person's character. It comes out in your character. I'm not talking about a once in a while failure, a mistake, something you said, did something you knew you shouldn't have done. I'm talking about an attitude, a lifestyle. Saul's character in verse 7, you see what happens to him in verse 7. It said, and the woman answered one another, and they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Verse 8 said, and Saul was very wroth. He became jealous of what was going on, how God was using David. And it all had to do with, it was all God. Listen, it wasn't David. It was all God. He became jealous of that. And the very next thing that came out in his life after jealousy, and we saw in verse 8, is anger. He became wroth. It said he was mad. He was mad with David. I tell you, people that get out of God's will, they become mad with everybody. They're mad at the preacher. They're mad at their spouse. They're mad at their kids. They're mad at the other church members. Man, they got a problem with everybody and everything. Bitterness, man, that's the next thing that comes out in their life. And Saul had been rejected already from being his kingship. He already knew it. Samuel had already told him that you've been rejected from being king. And he knew that somebody else was coming along the way that was going to take his place. And he started eyeballing David. He even said, what else can David have but the kingdom? Well, that's what he was going to have. So he already knew that. It was jealousy in his mind. And now he's got murder in his heart. See how far down he's gone? See, look at the decline. Look at the path that he's on. Now he's got a javelin in his hand. I believe when he started sliding off the track, he never thought in a million years. Number one, he probably lied to himself and didn't think he was sliding off track. Then when he started sliding off track, he never thought that, he got jealous, he got angry. He never thought murder wasn't on the list. I'm going to end up murdering somebody. He never thought that, but now this is what happened. Man, he's already started trying to kill David. He got out of his way twice, two times already when he had a javelin. Listen, this didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like everything is going well. He's in a good relationship with God today, and then the next day, all of a sudden, he's ready to kill somebody. He's got jealousy. He's got anger over what God was doing in his life. It didn't happen. It was a slow, steady decline. You go all the way back in chapter 17, and Saul, he was the king of Israel. When this was when, in chapter 17 is when Goliath was out there in the valley, marching back and forth in the valley, and he was defying God and defying God's people. And where was Saul at? Saul was hiding in his tent. Saul was the biggest guy. He was the biggest Israelite. I mean, he wasn't bigger than Goliath, but he was the biggest guy. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a big guy. Here, he was supposed to be the leader of God's people, but guess what? He was a coward when Goliath was walking up and down cursing the people of God. Why? Because he didn't have the Spirit of God on. He'd already been in decline for some time. The power of God wasn't on his life, and so he was weak-kneed, lily-livered, limp-wristed, hiding in his tent when David was just a boy when he showed up on the scene. They say maybe around 14 years old, something like that, when he showed up and said, man, who's this guy, man, down here? And you know what happened, you know the story. David went down and slew Goliath. Here's the thing about Saul's life, though. He knew all the right terminology, huh? You know, this. You get him in church, guess what? Saul would have been in church. You know what he'd have been doing? He'd have been saying, amen, preacher, you're right, man. His head would have been bobbing up and down while I'm preaching. He would have been going, oh, yeah, man, you're right about that, amen. He'd have had the biggest Bible in the crowd. He'd have been walking up and down. He'd say, brother, man, you know, have faith. Brother, I'll be praying for you. Brother, go ahead. You can do it, man. He'd have been encouraging everybody else. As a matter of fact, he did the same thing with David. When David was getting ready to go fight Goliath, guess what Saul said? Well, the Lord be with thee. Huh? Everybody, the Lord be with thee. Well, you know what? David could have been a smart aleck and turned around and said, well, hey, why don't the Lord just be with you? You bigger than I am. You older than I am. You, matter of fact, you got armor and all. Saul tried to put it on David, but he had armor. He said, why didn't he just say, hey, why don't the Lord just be with you? But that's how it is. See, he knew what to say, yet still in spiritual decline. He knew all the right terminology of being in a right relationship with God. And a multitude of people today know what they're supposed to say. They know what they're supposed to do. They know what the formula is, but they don't have the reality. Huh? We already know. There's not a person in here, you know, that I should say, hey, are we supposed to pray? Y'all, yeah, you know, we got a problem. Pray, yeah, can we trust God? Yeah, have faith in God. Yeah, we got it. But listen, what kind of life are you living, man? What's your life like spiritually? Are you in the spiritual incline and growth and grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or you are in a decline, getting farther and farther and farther away. I used to use this illustration years ago. I'll use it for you today. When I grew up, we had a boat. And we lived right near the Chesapeake Bay in Virginia Beach area. We lived near the Chesapeake Bay. We went out fishing on the bay all the time in the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Ruth, you just went down there and you saw the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel's out there. You fish up there close to that. A lot of fish, they gather around the pylons and stuff, and that's where the fishing's good, and even out sometimes. But we'd get out there sometime and say the tide was going out just a little bit. And we'd be out there in the boat, and we'd bottom fishing with the minnows and fishing for flounder. You'd fish along there, and you'd start floating a little bit back from the bridge, and, you know, you're just getting it real gradual. And there's a point. There's a point where, you know, at first you can tell. Like, you know, if you're right up there, back there where Mike's at, and you start floating back to here, okay, that's obvious. And then you float another 20, 30 yards forward. But there gets to be a point when you're so far back that you can't tell, you can't see the drift. It all looks the same. It's like the bridge will look the same distance for a long time. There's a point there. Until you finally get so far out, you know, and then it's like too late. You're miles and miles away from it. But you get to that place, and there's a lot of people in their Christian life, they're at that point. See, they've drifted far enough. They can still see the Lord up there, but they can't tell how far, you know, you can, there's in a half a mile's difference, it doesn't change when you're out there like that on the bay. A half a mile don't look any different when you get to a certain point. And they can't tell that they're drifting and drifting and drifting farther away. That's the way their life was. And that's the way it was with Saul. And that's the way it is with everybody that's on a decline. It's just gradual, gradual, gradual. But see, well, by David, by contrast, verse 14, I didn't read that far. It said, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. See what happened, the difference between David, that God was a living reality in his life. That's why he walked up and he came up to the army and said, when they were fighting Goliath, or what, they weren't fighting Goliath, they were out there listening to Goliath. David walked up and said, "What's going on?" He said, "Man, he's defying the armies of the living God." He had faith. He said, "I'm going to get under and kill that heathen, man. I'm going to kill that Philistine." David, a boy. But he had this power. It was a different, because why did he say, "Because listen, I'm God's." That's what he said, "I'm God's, and I know it." Huh? This was a reality. It wasn't just lip service. He knew it was a reality in his life. And this, listen, how did that happen? Well, it didn't happen overnight either. He just didn't wake up one morning and think, "Man, boom, boy, woo, man, I feel I'm on fire for God." Boom, you think you're just going to wake up one day and, "Boy, I'm on fire"? You see somebody get on fire for God in the church, or somebody you know in Christianity, "I'm just going to get up, wake up one day and get on fire." No, that don't happen overnight either. You can start it overnight, I'm going to tell you that, but you can get on the right path. There, you know, what happens? Here's let me give you a little advice. I was telling them this morning, we talked about this in Sunday school hour, about, you know, like we all clocked in now. We're all punched in on the time clock out there in the foyer. We're punched in, we're in church. But what's tomorrow going to be like for you? What's later on tonight going to be like for you? Some of you will come and punch in. Some of you won't. What's it going to be like for you? What's tomorrow like? See, what men do when they're alone is really what they are, their character. There's your character right there. What they do when you're alone. Saul was self-indulgent. Saul was self-indulgent. You know what a man does, what a man thinks about, I guess nowadays you got to quantify this, what a person does, mankind. If it's in the Greek, it'd be straight. What a person does with his thoughts will determine, what a person does with his thoughts in private will determine what he is in public. In reality, say, they can lie to themselves and deceive for a while. Either self-indulgent or self-disciplined. Those are the two choices, and that was the difference between David's life and Saul's life. Well, you know, what about David? But it wasn't. He didn't have a lifestyle of failure, not a practicing failure. David meditated on the Word of God. David meditated upon God. His heart was in tune with God. And it showed up in his actions. When he came up to the battlefront with Goliath, you remember that? And his brother scolded him. "What are you doing here? What are you doing now? You come out here to see the battle. What are you doing with them sheep?" You know, David didn't fly off the handle with his brothers. He just said, "Listen, man, he's defying the armies of the living God. I'm going to go down there and slay him, man." Huh? He didn't, you know, his character was built. He didn't go off on them. He didn't give them a hard time. He didn't, you know, criticize them and all that. It showed up in his actions when he went out and did something about it. In the contrast, we see Saul, he's jealous. He's got bitterness. He's got hatred. He's got murder, and he's living in fear. I was telling the church this morning, man, some of the most unhappiest, fearful people I know are Christian people, or at least claiming to be Christian. Man, always complaining, always grumbling, always bitter, man, always sour. Nobody's happy. Nobody's got joy. People just moaning, groaning, complaining, worrying. My goodness. And I told him this morning in Sunday school, what did Jesus worry about? Not a thing. He didn't worry about a thing. He didn't worry about no storm. He didn't worry about no lack of food. He didn't worry about death. He didn't worry about a thing. Huh? Boy, I'm telling you what, man, you get close to him, it's a difference. It's a difference. And David, man, he had gentleness, he had meekness, but I'll tell you what, he also had courage. Huh? Gentleness and meekness. Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is power under control. And man, here was David, man, he went right down there and said, "Listen, man, where's he at? Let me go down there." Saul said, "Here, try my armor. Try this sword." He goes, "I don't need none of that junk, man." Got him some stones, he only needed one. Got him as a sling, and he went down there. Went right down there and told Goliath how it was. One man was powerless, and the other man was mighty. And the only difference in the whole thing was their relationship with God. That was it. It wasn't that David was born any more courageous than Saul. It wasn't that he was born any smarter than Saul. The only difference was his relationship with God. That was it. And one was growing and one was declining. Now Saul, listen, everything was there. He knew what God said. He had been told. God spoke to him through Samuel the prophet. This is what I want you to do. God said, this is what to do. Now we know, you study it way back, you'll find out Saul was really the people's choice, not God's choice. But you know what? God would have honored that choice if Saul had obeyed God. I believe God would have, man, he could have been a mighty man. He was a big guy, a good-looking man. He could have, man, he would have been the leader. He could have just said, listen, I'm going to just do what God says. We all got that same choice, right? We've got the same choice. One was growing, one was declining. In which direction are you going in? It's honestly, you know. Huh? Listen, God, the Holy Spirit of God convicts for a reason. The Holy Spirit of God, sometimes people get mad about stuff, man. You say something, somebody's mad about it. Well, I asked him then, I said, well, look, I didn't convict you. It's God, right? Don't you? Yeah. Number one, I'd be glad God's still convicting me. You just better listen to him. You know, don't get mad at the messenger. Just get mad at yourself. David, like I said, he meditated. Man, I mean, listen, it made a difference in his life. So we see a life in decline, and then there's a life in desolation. Look at verse 12. It's probably there's several scary verses in the Bible, but this is one of them. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And look here, and was departed from Saul. The Lord was departed from Saul. Listen, things don't get any more desolate than that. And you know what? There's people, I believe there's people that's sitting in churches all over America today, all over the world today, and guess what? The Lord has departed from them and they don't even know it. Huh? Desensitized. They don't know it. They've got that scars. You know, I got a scar on my little finger that I got cut on a mirror one time, and that thing it stays numb in that one little spot. I can't feel a thing on that one little spot. Desensitized. I can cut it again. It don't matter. Doesn't do anything to me. And that's what happens to people that quench the Spirit and quench the Spirit and quench the Spirit. And they sit in church. There's no conviction. They didn't get under conviction about anything. It doesn't matter what it is. You could convict them about. They could get convicted about murder. They would think it's not them. I mean, it doesn't bother them. There's nothing more devastating than a life from which God has withdrawn himself. It's a hopeless situation. Desperation. Everybody in hell knows exactly what I'm talking about. They are separated from God for eternity. Saul was desolate, empty, dark. Now listen to me. He had no appetite, no courage, no spirit to fight. That's all that's left when God withdraws himself and he ceases to deal with the man. Saul became hopeless, bitter, and afraid. He had no appetite for the Word of God, no appetite for the worship of God, no appetite for prayer, no appetite for fellowship with the people of God. He shut himself in. He locked himself in his room, basically. He stayed inside, and he'd get all down and depressed and dark, and he'd want somebody to come and play some music to cheer him up just a little bit, which it didn't last very well, but that's what he did. His life became meaningless. And then even worse, it said in verse 10 that an evil spirit from God came upon him. You think, well, boy, would God do that? Yeah. Now, it's got a purpose. It's got a purpose, and the purpose is to drive you back to himself with that. When you get that way, yeah, listen, there's something that can be done here. There's something to be done about it. When you turn your back on God, you become the enemy of God. That's another thing. Psalm 18:26 says, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. That word froward, it means hard to deal with, difficult, contrary. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, but with the difficult, the hard to deal with, the contrary, God says, I will show myself to be difficult, contrary, and hard to deal with. That's what he's saying. You know that God blocks the way to hell with the cross of Calvary. Huh? You know what, man? I mean, I'll tell you what, it's hard to go to hell. I heard a guy preach a message on that one time. It's hard to go to hell. Man, you have got to go past the cross the resurrected Christ. You have got to fight God. A man has to deny his own conscience. How many of you ever have anything nagging at your conscience about something either you're doing or you're not doing? You better listen to that. You know what? You keep denying it. You keep pushing it. I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen one day. You know what? My conscience doesn't bother me anymore. That's the point that Saul got to. There'll be other things show up. It won't be your conscience bothering you, but you'll be unhappy. You'll be bitter. You'll be angry, huh? You'll be desolate. That evil spirit was designed to keep a man from going down that path. Think about Judas. You think about Judas. It blows my mind. Sat there with the Lord Jesus day in, day out. Saw the miracles that he performed. We talked about that this morning. Saw the miracles that he performed. Ate with him. Heard him pray. Knew everything. I mean, here was God in the flesh revealing himself to the world. Judas sat there. But listen. Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And old Judas just sat there like, is it I? Tell me his conscience wasn't telling him it's him. He already knew. He'd already coveted to betray Jesus. And he sat right there in the congregation. Jesus even said to Judas in the garden, you betray me with a kiss? Whoever it is that dips his sop in the bowl with me. I mean, whoop, 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 whoop. How many red light warning signals do you have to realize that you're the man?
Amen.
And went outside and still betrayed Jesus. I mean, I'm just me. I'm thinking, man, I would have hit the floor, buddy, and begging for mercy and apologizing and not, and go on and fight against that conscience that was wearing him out about what he was doing. And what happened? Went out and hung himself when it was all over with because he didn't have any more hope. And that didn't end it either. Kept right on that path. And eventually God withdrew himself. But the Bible says, but the Lord was with David. Why was the Lord with David? Well, number one, he communed with God. He talked to God. Was David a perfect man? No. But he communed with God. He talked with God. He said he was a man after God's own heart. Matter of fact, it means he wanted to know what the heart of God was about things. He obeyed God. God told him what to do. He obeyed God. He walked with God, which means obedience, of course, going in the same direction. If you're walking with someone, you're going in that direction with them. He knew what God's direction was. He prayed to God. And Saul, let me see if I read that. Maybe I didn't read it in this section right here. When David got, and most of you probably know this, but this, when David got, when Saul got in a bad way, and that evil spirit from the Lord came upon him, he wanted David to bring somebody in to play music. David played the harp. Think about this. David went and played music that came from a heart that was in tune with God. Of course the music soothed him. It came from God. David's harp, he played music from his heart. And his heart was in tune with God. And so here was this man that God was using. And it comforted Saul when he heard that. The Lord was with David but departed from Saul. And then look what the result was. It says, and Saul was afraid of David. Fear. There's people out here that's afraid of everything. Claiming that they're Christians. Claiming that they know the Lord. They're trusting God. They're afraid of everything. That's not somebody walking in the power of God, somebody walking with God. He had fear. That's the result. Listen. I think that we should be full of God so that this world would have a little fear of God. Boy, it would do this world good. Oh, man, I didn't mention the Roe versus Wade. I was happy about that. Now, it goes back to the states, which doesn't mean it's going to be the end of abortion. You know how that's going to go. But, man, a step in the right direction. I'm shocked. I'm shocked, honestly. I'm surprised at the way this world, there's a bunch of odd things going on. In the world that we're living in, we're in a gay pride month. I'll be so glad when June gets over with. I don't know what to do. I'll be glad when that's over with. I might just take all of June off next year. Just go somewhere. Can you go to the moon or something? Huh? But in all that going on, we get Roe v. Wade overturned. The Supreme Court ruled up in New York that their ruling on concealed carry, you having to show some cause for it, is unconstitutional at the same time when we're going to restrict magazine sizes somewhere else. Like two different things going on at one time. It's like there's some weird things going on in the world right here, right? But I'm going to tell you what, thank God for that. I didn't mention that, but boy, that's just something to shout about right there, the Roe v. Wade. I mean, God's took note. How long it'll last, I don't know. Boy, there's a whole bunch of them ain't happy about it. Old Sourpuss was up there on TV right out that way. Well, I'd like to say a good day, but it's not a good day. A bunch of them on there, they ain't happy about it. They're whining and squirming and all that. And I'm not happy about them whining and squirming. I'm not. It's a crying shame that bothers them, saving babies' lives. It's a shame. It's a sad day. I'm glad it went that way. I'm glad it went this way. Thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you what, the problem, the world doesn't fear God. This world, you know that, right? Amen. And the world doesn't fear God because the people of God are not filled with enough God to cause them any fear. But when you have when you are full of God, huh? And you got the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you what they fear. They don't want you around, man. They see you coming in. Oh, my gosh, it's the preacher. Or, oh, here comes that Christian. Boy, they're going to talk to me about the Lord. And they get all uncomfortable and all that. We don't like that. We don't like to be, ostracized and all that. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're comfortable compromising with this world, you got a problem. You're on the wrong path. I'm going to tell you that right. You are on the wrong path if you're comfortable compromising with this world. Listen, the world don't dictate to me what I'm doing. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know what? Lord be willing, man. Listen, the world can make plans around me. I'm not making plans around the world. Huh? They're gonna make plans around. Listen, if their plans don't fit, tough. They just do without. I mean, that's just the way it is. The world needs to fear God. And the only way the world will fear God, a little fear would go a long way, is the people of God are full of God. That's what's gonna cause that. And the world to use a big dose of that. And my last little point, it's not alliterated. I just said, just told Eileen to put this down. Put back up. I said, number three, back up. You back up in Saul's life and say, well, you know what? Let's see. When did it all go south? How did it start going south? You back up all the way back to chapter 15 when Saul was supposed to have killed off all the Amalekites, I believe it was. It said here, he says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. This is just a couple chapters back from where we are right now. See, you can keep on backing up in Saul's life. Disobedience here, disobedience there. And I'll tell you what, the thing about Saul's life, and this is so prevalent in Christianity today, it wasn't total disobedience. He would obey some of the stuff. He would do a lot of what God wanted him to do, but he just didn't do everything that God wanted him to do. Boy, does this sound familiar. Is this the path that you're on? Huh? That cafeteria style picking and choosing right there. Saul wasn't rejected for one act of disobedience or one failure in his life. It was a continual habit, attitude of disobedience toward God. So back up in your life. Is your life in decline? And see if there's a place back all the way up to where you started going off track. And see what happened from that time forward. A life of picking and choosing what he was going to be obedient in. Which is what a lot of Christian folks do. And I'm going to tell you what, listen to me. Satan watches for those pickers and choosers. Huh? If he finds out you're a picker, huh? You picking and choosing where you're going to be obedient, oh, he's going to get a silver platter with some nice choices for you to make. Look at that. Get you some. Huh? Go ahead and get you a little bit of that. He's going to lay some choices out there because he already knows you're a compromiser. He already knows that you're picking and choosing. Oh, let me give them something they can't resist. I'll get them disobedient. I'll get them going down the wrong path. And that's exactly what happened, man. If you're a picking and choosing, I'm going to tell you what, Satan's watching. Saul never dreamed that he would slide this far down. He never dreamed that he would start thinking about murdering somebody. If he is so intent on murdering somebody, how come he didn't go out there after Goliath with that javelin? Huh? Why didn't he go out there and get him where he should have been in the fight? No, he's trying to kill a young boy, a young lad, that the only person around that could give him any comfort in his spirit when he played the harp, but he was also in tune with God. He was also destined to be on the throne. He never dreamed that he would attempt murder. He never dreamed his conscience would become so seared and he would be so blind to the path that he was on. Couldn't see it. He became self-absorbed, self-consumed, and he died in darkness and fear. Darkness spiritually, and he died in fear. David faced Goliath. He went down there with a sling and a stone. Man, a sling, man. I mean, everyone put a rock in there. You got to twirl it around and you got to hope you can hit what you're aiming for. Went down there to Goliath with no armor on or nothing, man. Goliath was 9'9". Big target. But he hit him right there. Huh? Went right down there. He wasn't worried about it. Why? Because he had the Spirit of God on his life. What life are you living? Think about that. What life are you living? Is it a real life of faith, or are you just playing along? Just playing along, punching in, clocking out. A real life of faith. Are you spiritually growing? Here, everybody's here, and here we are. Fair evaluation. If you have conscience sitting so far seared that you can evaluate your own self. Are you spiritually growing? Or are you in decline? Everybody's in one spot or the other. Are you too far gone to even give an honest account of yourself? Let's all stand, heads bowed.